Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to optimize your health with real data? SciFox Health offers the easiest, most affordable blood biomarker testing kits. Test 17 key biomarkers like cholesterol and inflammation from the comfort of your own home and get results at your fingertips in a few days. Get 20% off at SciFoxHealth.com/yami. Know your blood biomarkers and live healthier.
The next time I saw him was about 5 months later because he'd seen some other providers. And when he walked back, my heart dropped. I was like, oh no, he has cancer. He has cancer. I just know it. And I went into the room because he had lost 40 pounds in 5 months. And I said, how is everything going? And he said, I feel great. I've never felt so good in my life. He had made all these changes to his diet and was walking 20 to 30 minutes a day. He said, nobody listens to me. They don't eat what I eat. But even when they go out to eat, I eat only half a biscuit. You know, he was feeling phenomenal and he had never been better. He was feeling great. And I was just blown away.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human. Hello, lovely humans. I am Dr. Yami. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you also for subscribing to the show, rating, reviewing, and sharing episodes that you think other people in your life would enjoy. So to be human means that sometimes we want to be perfect, but it also means that we embrace our imperfections, see our lives as a journey, and give up the all or nothing approach so that we can make progress over perfection. And our guest today has a really interesting story to share with us today. I met her at the Plant-Based Prevention of Disease Conference where she was volunteering. She's a physician assistant in North Carolina, and she told me her story, and I just thought it would be perfect to share on the show because I think it's a good example of the different ways that we discover plant-based nutrition. So our guest is Laura Driggers. She graduated from PA school as a National Health Service Corps Scholar in 2011 and immediately found her way to a community she adores in rural North Carolina. She continues to work there at a federally qualified health center and the local health department. She sees the full spectrum of patients from newborns to well woman care to the medically complex. She is also the mother of three amazing children, ages 11, 9, and 6, whom she credits for her interest in lifestyle medicine. She first went plant-based after wrestling with a, quote, picky eater who was mostly vegan from birth. After giving up on forcing her child to eat the expected foods, she began researching how to make sure her child's diet was safe. She finally transitioned to a plant-based diet herself due to the overwhelming evidence in favor of the power of plants. She went on to become certified in lifestyle medicine through the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, earning both a type 2 diabetes remission certificate through the ACLM and the plant-based nutrition certificate through T. Colin Campbell's eCornell course. And in this episode, we talk about her plant-based journey, raising plant-based kids. We talk about whether she gets questions from family members and friends about, you know, any concerns about raising plant-based kids. We also talk about her journey, becoming a physician assistant, the kind of work she does, the population she works with. She tells an inspiring transformation story from one of her patients. And we just talk about some of the challenges and barriers of integrating lifestyle medicine into an underserved population. So I think that it's a really great interview, especially if you're a healthcare provider, to just kind of hear the perspective of somebody working in a rural area, an underserved population that's still trying to do whatever they can to bring the message of lifestyle medicine to patients and families. So I hope that you love this episode. And if you do, please share it with someone that you love. I hope that you have a fantastic day. And now on to the episode. The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional. Welcome to I Am Human, Laura Driggers. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to meet you in person a few weeks ago in North Carolina, and it was super cool because you told me a really cool story, and I thought that that was really unique. So definitely want to hear all about it. So let's start from the beginning, talking about your plant-based journey and how it was actually prompted by one of your young children.
So my son, who's now 11, when he was little, he was exclusively breastfed. And when we started to introduce solids, we did baby-led weaning, partly because I just really liked the intuitive eating side of that. And so we just introduced soft solids rather than going to purees. And so when we first started introducing things, he would just play with food. You know, sometimes he'd try different things. Sometimes he'd mash it around. And I noticed that he never put meat in his mouth. And after a little bit of time, I was like, is he going to eventually want to eat this meat? I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Maybe I should have done purees. His pediatrician didn't seem that concerned about it. And so we just sort of let him lead. And everyone kept saying, oh, he'll just eventually eat meat. It's not a big deal. You know, and of course their second question was, well, does he drink milk? Is he eating yogurt? Does he eat cheese? You know, that kind of stuff, which he did drink some milk after one, but it wasn't a favorite food or anything. And he just never really developed any interest in eating meat at any point. In fact, I tried to trick him one time when he was about 18 months old. He was eating beans out of like a burrito bowl that I was eating. And I was like, well, I'll just sneak him like a little tiny piece of chicken. And he stopped eating. He wouldn't eat any more lunch that day. He was like, I'm done.
Don't trick me, mom.
Right. He was like, no, that's not food. And he just wasn't interested. He did eventually start eating a few meat products, like processed meat, which I was not going to encourage, but we weren't plant-based at this point. And it wasn't until he started to get a little older that I started to wonder if... So he's short stature, but all of my kids are. I am only 5'3", and my partner is only 5'7", so probably just genetic. But I started to worry. I actually was like, maybe we should see the endocrinologist. And I actually told our pediatrician I wanted them to send us. They weren't concerned, but I was worried. I was like, maybe I'm doing something wrong. And we went and saw the endocrinologist and they were like, he's fine. Everything's good. So that's kind of where we got. And then at some point I was like, if he's going to eat like this, then I should make sure that we're doing something healthy. So I started looking into it, and that's how we really ended up starting on the whole plant-based thing. That's how I went plant-based, was after I started reading all the evidence out there.
That's amazing. I love it because it's very rare that it happens like this, especially with the young children. Most of the time it's like with an older child that decides, I don't want to eat meat either because I don't like it, or I made the connection between, you know, animals dying and meat and that kind of thing. But I hadn't heard this take on it before. So I think that's really interesting. So how much did it take for you to finally become comfortable that, okay, this is okay, my children can thrive this way? Like, how far did you have to go? And was there any particular resource did you feel that helped reassure you?
It actually wasn't until he was like 6 that I finally started doing research, which I honestly think part of it was there was enough little things here and there that I felt like I was like, well, he's not really vegan. He's not really vegetarian. And so I kind of just told myself like everything's okay. It's not going to matter. It's just less than other people. But once I started to get concerned that he was going to be short and that it would be my fault. It's not so much that I cared if he was short. That's fine. But I don't want him to be short and it's because I did something wrong. And so I started reading a couple of books. Vegan for Life, I think, might have been one. Nourish was one that came out later, but I read that one as well. I was like, well, if he's going to be on this edge, then I feel like I should be careful. And I don't know what I need to be careful of. Even as a PA, I didn't feel like I had enough education on the nutrition side of things. And so, you know, I would read a little bit and then start to get a little panicky. And then I would read a little more. Honestly, I just started to end up worrying a little more about the rest of my family and whether or not us eating meat was actually a bigger problem for our health than not eating meat.
So either way, you were worried.
Right. I will say that your Veggie Doctor radio podcast was super helpful because it was aimed at kids. And like the idea that there was a pediatrician who was like, no, it's fine. And in fact, it's good, was really like it just gave me this like peace of mind that I was like, I'm not a crazy person. There are other people who think this, and there are other people who are raising kids this way, and they're okay.
Yes. And it can feel like you're stuck in a weird paradigm because everybody else is doing it different. So that was my next question, is how did you handle questions from concerned family members and friends? So I guess maybe we could take a step back and be like, okay, so once you did the research and you learned, did you start transitioning your family at that point, or what happened at that point?
It was actually in like January of 2020. I was like, I've read enough. I'm done. No more meat, no dairy for me. And so my husband was like, okay, that's fine. And so our whole family was kind of going that direction. A couple of months in, I re-panicked, and not about being a vegetarian or vegan. It was about not putting judgment on food for my kids. Like I said before, we did baby-led weaning because to me, like intuitive eaters, it's so important. So many people have really bad relationships with food. My oldest still to this day has a very black and white view of food. He's like, is this good for me? Is this bad for me? Is this bad for you? So I was like, you know, I don't want my kids to put value on food like that, at least not in a way that is going to make it so that it's hard for them to choose what to eat, or that they're going to be overly judgmental of other people who choose to eat a certain way. So I sort of backed off and was like, look, in our house, this is how I'm planning on having food. I am not going to make meals that include these things. But outside of our house, you have a choice. And I've still maintained that. So I would say that none of my kids are fully plant-based, and my husband isn't. But to us, I think that has been a really good thing, that it doesn't need to be a black and white issue. It can be a spectrum where we're moving towards health in not just a whether or not this food is good for my body and nourishing for my body, but also how is this in relation to my emotions and my mind and how I'm thinking about moving through life. And so I think that there has been fewer questions from family and friends because of the fact that I'm not like, well, my kids are vegan, so we're not going to touch this or that, or they can't have sugar. So I think people sort of see that and go, oh, okay, just your kids like these sorts of foods, which is true. My kids are like, oh, I love beans, you know, that kind of stuff. And so they're pretty accommodating when we're around family and that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. I love that. And yeah, I definitely feel like every family has to make decisions for themselves of how they're going to navigate life outside of the house. But whenever you do set that nice, strong foundation in the household, I think that's what really matters the most anyway. That's where your kids spend the most amount of time. That's where you can set those healthy habits for their well-being and for their health. And then that way, you don't have to stress about anything else, you know? And they can still do their social things because we don't live in a vegan world. Most of the food out there is not going to be plant-based friendly. So especially birthday parties, it's like usually just like pepperoni pizza. So yeah, I think that that can be a really great way to approach it to decrease stress, but also that helps support intuitive eating for the children and helps them through their different stages of development as they're going through those school age years where, you know, there's social influences and peer pressures, and then they start going through teenage years. And so, yeah, it can get pretty, pretty tricky. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about your career. Why did you choose to become a PA? Tell me a little bit about that journey and what kind of work do you do right now?
So I became a PA, a physician assistant, probably because I knew that I wanted to have a family. I knew that I wanted to help people. I was interested in science and medicine. And a PA career seemed like it fit best with the idea of having a family. That was how I kind of viewed it. I was like, I don't want to wait too long to start a family and that kind of thing. And so that's kind of what led me to PA school. When I was in PA school, I got a National Health Service Corps scholarship, which ended up leading me into family practice at a community health center in North Carolina. So that's where I currently work. I've worked there pretty much since I graduated in 2011. I do also work at the health department. They're kind of side by side in the community. And so I work there as well.
And you do primary care at the community health center. What do you do at the health department?
At the health department, I primarily do well woman care, contraceptive care, STI screenings, that kind of stuff.
So tell me how you discovered lifestyle medicine. Was that parallel to the plant-based journey or did it come before, after? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So when I was doing all of my research, of course, I was like, no, I don't really care what vegan influencers are saying about this. I want to know, like, where's the data? So I sort of dug right into the evidence and as many physicians and stuff with actual research backgrounds and that kind of stuff to get my information. And then, of course, that quickly led me to the ACLM and lifestyle medicine and all of the different attributes with that, whether it be, you know, not only diet, but also exercise and stress management and social relationships and all of that kind of stuff. And so I immediately was like, this is what my patients need. This is what my patients need so badly. It has been really difficult to integrate that other than from a general counseling standpoint. But there are a lot of barriers to care for a lot of my patients. I work in an underserved community, and so that has a lot of challenges associated with it.
Do you see a Spanish-speaking population there? What is your patient population like?
I probably see somewhere between 80 and 90% Spanish-speaking patients.
Wow, it's much higher than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. The number of patients that I see that speak Spanish has probably decreased a little bit just because I'm seeing a lot of older folks now. And so that has shifted just a little bit recently.
Tell me a little bit about that. Do you feel culturally that there's been barriers for lifestyle medicine? Do you feel like in general, the concepts are understood and accepted, or does it seem to differ from current health beliefs? Tell me a little bit about that.
There's probably a couple of pieces to that. I have a good number of patients who have told me certain things, like they'll say jokingly, like, well, it's my culture. This is the things that we eat or is my culture. And honestly, there's so much that's plant-based and that's amazing about so many of the dishes that come from Latin America. So there is a part of me that wants to be like, no, you don't understand. There's like really wonderful, rich culture here that doesn't have to do with meat or animal products. In fact, so much of that came later with the introduction of Western influences and stuff. So there's a little bit of that. There's also, I do find some patients who are actually concerned about losing too much weight, which I don't seem to have from my white patients. I don't have as much of that concern from them. So that is another thing to talk about sometimes is like, okay, well, you've not lost too much weight, where that's okay. So that is a concern that comes up sometimes.
That's interesting. Especially the first thing, because I'm Latin American, so I'm Panamanian, and I feel like my culture and my heritage actually made it easier for me to go plant-based. Because I already knew that I could eat rice and beans and feel completely satisfied. And yeah. I loved it and I grew up with it. So I was like, okay, I know I can do that. You know, that's simple. I know how to make that. I know it tastes good. Yeah. I know how to garnish it and, you know, those kinds of things. So that's ironic that in Panama, the foundation of our diet is plant-based. You know, we got rice, beans, plantain, cassava, a bazillion fruits, like literally so many fruit, year-round fruits, and so many root vegetables that really the foundation of what we eat is plant-based. And the meat has only gone up over time, especially as some people have become more wealthy and it's been easier to access. But my mother grew up, no running water, no electricity, out in the country. And what she talks about eating, basically very little meat. They had dairy cows, but because they were selling the milk, they weren't drinking that either. So it was all plant-based pretty much 95% of the time. So it is funny that we sometimes you kind of use excuses, right? Like, and we can twist anything anyway. But the truth is that there's a lot of cultures that there's lots of foods, lots of dishes and cuisines and recipes that can be completely plant-based and nobody would even miss the meat. So,
well, and I think so sadly, it has become the norm for dietary advice to be like, well, don't eat rice and not too many beans if you have diabetes, because there's carbohydrate with that protein. And oh, no, not on the fruit, you know, that's too much. I have a lot of patients who tell me that. They're like, oh, but I try not to eat too much fruit. That's a real barrier when you're trying to explain to people, like, no, it's between this and this. Like, I actually am okay with you totally eating more of that carbohydrate when it comes with all of the fiber and everything else that's in those foods, rather than, you know, saying, okay, well, I guess I'll have another piece of chicken or, you know.
Yes. And I think part of it is because there's this carb phobia and it's spread to, because, you know, my mom, she lives in Panama most of the year. She lives with us the rest of the year. My parents do. And I literally teach her this stuff. She went plant-based 6 months after I did. So, and I've been plant-based almost 13 years. And I literally teach this stuff, right? I've written a book. I teach her these things. She knows these things. And just today in the conversation, she was like, oh yeah, I know it's not good for me to eat rice and eat too many fruits. And I'm like, Mom, like literally, like what? Where did that come from? Like, you know, because when she's there, that's what she hears all around. Like rice is bad for you. Fruit is bad for you. She doesn't eat animal products, but she's getting scared. I'm eating too much rice. I'm eating too much fruit. It's mango season, you know? So mango season, you're going to eat more mangoes. But
I influenced my parents and they decided to shift more plant predominant after I did, which was wonderful. And I was so excited. But my mom went to the doctor and the doctor's like, I mean, I guess that's fine. Just don't eat too much fruit. And then my dad is like, I'm just not sure. I think we need more protein.
I'm feeling the protein deficiencies coming in. I know. I think it is difficult. And I've had classes, diabetes classes, or people have walked out because when I start talking about beans, they're like, that goes against everything I've ever been taught about diabetes. Beans are not healthy. It has too many carbohydrates. And I'm like, just try it. Please just try it. You have to have some faith. If you're serious about your health and longevity, there are key numbers you need to know, like your lipid levels. Did you know that over 40% of Americans have high cholesterol without realizing it, and up to 25% have undiagnosed diabetes? You can easily track your blood sugar with a simple hemoglobin A1C test. But let's be honest, getting labs done can be a hassle. Multiple steps, long waits, and the frustration of tracking down your results. That's why SciFox Health is a game changer. They pioneered the most comprehensive, convenient, and affordable at-home blood test on the market. With just one kit, you can test over 17 critical biomarkers, including your hormones, triglycerides, HDL, LDL, ApoB, and hemoglobin A1C, all without needing a doctor's order. Through regular biomarker testing, personalized assessments, and tailored action plans, you can identify potential health issues and track progress as you make changes to improve your biomarkers. The ability to take control of your disease risk and enhance health span is now more affordable and convenient than ever through SciFox. No more driving to clinics or waiting weeks. Just a few drops of blood mailed back in a prepaid envelope and your results are delivered within days. It's that simple. Plus, you can upload any past blood test results to get free explanations, insights, and recommendations. It's the easiest way to keep all your health data in one place and start using SciFox's platform with zero hassle. I've already used my first kit and plan to repeat it. SciFox Health is the most convenient and cost-effective way to monitor your blood biomarkers and stay on top of your health. Ready to take control? Visit SciFoxHealth.com/Yami and use the code Yami, Y-A-M-I, to get 20% off your first test kit. That's SciPhoxHealth.com/Yami. Well, it's official. Back to school season has begun. Why does it always seem to sneak up on me? We are now in the whirlwind of drop-offs and pickups, sport practices, and parent volunteer hours. There is so much to do all the time. That's why I'm really glad we have ways to keep eating healthy even when the schedule is bursting at the seams. If you want to ensure that you will be able to put delicious and nutritious meals on the table during the busy school fall season, I highly recommend Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. You get to choose from 80-plus flavor-packed options that allow you to take back time in the kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes. Here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that comes already pre-chopped, as well as custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are very simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. Green Chef takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included, so even less experienced cooks in your house can prepare a delicious home-cooked meal. I appreciate the variety of plant-based meals available. This week we had curry-spiced sweet potato wraps, mushroom artichoke and pesto flatbreads, and spicy peanut and veggie sesame rice bowls. Those were extremely delicious. The recipes are so yummy and approved by the whole family. I love that they include lots of veggies for a delicious and nutritious meal. The vegan meal kits are hearty, so you don't have to worry that you'll go hungry. And now you have the option to double your portion of protein or veggies, and you can swap to a plant-based protein like organic tofu or tempeh. We have loved using Green Chef in our household. If you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table, look no further than Green Chef. And now, take your healthy routine further with 2x the support. You get to select from Green Chef's healthiest menu ever and access thousands of top-rated gyms and fitness studios worldwide from ClassPass. For a limited time, new Green Chef subscribers will also receive 50 free credits to use at ClassPass, about a month's worth of membership. Go to greenchef.com/IamHumanClass for 50% off your first box plus 50 free credits with ClassPass. That's code IamHumanClass at greenchef.com/IamHumanClass to get 50% off your first box plus 50 free ClassPass credits. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Renting from Armoire is perfect for me because I love fashion. I get bored easily. I love to try new things with low commitment, and I'm also a minimalist who is budget conscious. Clothing rental just makes sense. It's so fun. You get to try new styles that you may not be brave enough to buy and keep forever, and your wardrobe stays fresh and updated. We live in a small old house with tiny closets that get cluttered easily, but I love clothes. I don't want to compromise. I want to look cute and feel great, and with clothing rental, it's a win-win. My first shipment of rental items arrived quickly, and all my items were neatly folded, clean, and ready to wear. The first item I tried on was a pair of overalls from Wild Fang, and I've already worn them 3 times because they're adorable and so soft and comfy. Today, I'm wearing a beautiful floral linen wrap dress from Yumi Kim, and I feel so feminine. It's really elevated my mood. I have 4 more items to try this week, including some cute corduroy wide leg ankle pants, a pair of super wide leg jeans, a sophisticated midi dress, and a puffy sleeve V-neck sweater. Getting dressed in the morning is exciting, and I feel great all day. There are so many reasons to try Armoire. First and foremost, you'll always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's affordable. They have many plans to choose from, depending on how often you'd like to swap out your outfits, but it could actually save you money in the long run. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, letting it sit in your closet for years until you finally donate it. It also feels good to support a company that is women-founded and women-led. And finally, Armoire can help you define your personal style. It gives you recommendations based on your body type and what you already like, but it also gives you the freedom to explore different styles you may not otherwise buy. If you've never tried something like this before but feel intrigued, I recommend that you give it a try. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Dr. Yami. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/DRYAMI, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Well, tell me a little bit more about how learning lifestyle medicine has influenced your practice. I know that, you know, there's barriers there, but have you seen a silver lining there? Are there episodes where you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I have these tools and this education?
Yeah, I really do. I counsel pretty much all of my patients on lifestyle medicine at some point. I'm sure our clinic is spending a lot more on a color printer right now because I can't give out plant-based diet handouts in black and white. They're just so boring and they're so beautiful in color. But I would say that there are patients who have made changes. I think that there are a lot of patients who have made changes. I think that there are more patients who could benefit. And I wish that we could continue to step it up. And that has been the hardest part, is to scale it and make those changes more than just this first step, which that first step is worth it. If all I ever get is the first step, I'll take that. But I think that so many of them could benefit from continuing on with those changes and making bigger and bigger changes over time. I do have a couple of patients who have had just incredible transformations. One gentleman, middle-aged man who has hypertension and prediabetes, he came into the office and was having a hypertensive crisis. His blood pressure was through the roof and he was on 3 agents. We put him on a 4th agent, brought it down a little. And he came into the clinic for a follow-up. And I said, this is crazy. We have got to get this under control. What are we going to do? And so we started talking about his diet, and he was eating out at fast food restaurants a couple times a day with his family. And so we started talking about that, pulled up the website for this fast food restaurant, looked at the sodium content in some of these items and the saturated fat. And I mean, some of these entrees have more sodium in one entree item than a healthy person is supposed to have in an entire day. I mean, I was honestly surprised. And so we had this conversation and I said, I want you to eat as many fruits and vegetables as you can. Cut back as much as you possibly can on processed fast food items and we will check back. And he came back a month later and he'd lost 10 pounds and his blood pressure was under control to the point where we actually cut one of his medications in half, which was, I'll take that. that was a step. And I asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm trying to eat more fruits and vegetables. I said, okay. The next time I saw him was about 5 months later because he had seen some other providers. And when he walked back, my heart dropped. I was like, oh no, he has cancer. He has cancer. I just know it. And I went into the room because he had lost 40 pounds in 5 months. And I said, how is everything going? And he said, I feel great. I've never felt so good in my life. He had made all these changes to his diet and was walking 20 to 30 minutes a day. He said, nobody listens to me. They don't eat what I eat. But even when they go out to eat, I eat only half a biscuit. He was feeling phenomenal and he had never been better. He was feeling great. And I was just blown away. Not pre-diabetic anymore. His blood pressure was in range. I was like, this is insane.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. What do you think it was about him? Do you think it was a personality trait or was he just like super scared with his blood pressure or a combination of those things? What do you think was the key there to help him make that change?
I think for him, it was number one. I think he was a little bit scared by this blood pressure because I think it had landed him in the emergency room already one time. But I think the other thing was is that he really trusted me. We had known each other for a good while at this point, and this was sort of at the beginning of my changing how much I was willing to counsel patients and really feel confident about giving them information. And I think that he was like, well, you said to. So I did. Whereas a lot of my patients are like, I don't know. I don't know about what you said.
I love that. Did you have another one you wanted to share? I said a couple.
That's probably the one that stands out to me the most. I have had a few other people. I didn't make sure that I had their details as far as what all happened. But I have had some people make some really brilliant changes that have really just, to me, were inspiring for me to continue to talk to people about these sorts of things. Because I think, especially in the kind of clinic I'm in, people are expecting to just get a pill and go on their way. And so I do think it depends on the person. Sometimes people are ready to talk about these sorts of changes. Sometimes they're willing and able to make a change, even a small one. And sometimes people are just happy to have somebody listen to them and hear where they're at. I think that is another thing that has really been beneficial for me as a provider to go into lifestyle medicine, was really learning more about meeting people where they're at and counseling people from where they are and what their personal motivations are. What are they ready for?
Yeah, because we don't learn that in our medical training usually. We just learn how to tell people what to do. We don't learn the coaching aspect of what are you motivated to do and how can I inspire motivation in you and, you know, start that motivational interviewing and look at the trans-theoretical model of where people are on the different stages of change. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges to integrating lifestyle medicine into an underserved population?
I read a really amazing article on, I think it was feedingliverpool.org, and it was called Why Don't People Just Make Soup? And when I read this, I was like, this is it. This is the problem. This sums all of the problems up. And what it was talking about was there was a paper, I think, in Parliament and in the UK, where they were talking about why don't people just make soup? That's a healthy option and it's cheap, right? Vegetable soup, super cheap. And they were sort of addressing why doesn't that just solve the problem? And what they were talking about was you have to remember that there's so many pieces along the way. So someone has to say, okay, so I'm going to make a new recipe. Well, do they have a recipe book? Do they have the internet? Can they get a recipe? Can they find a good one? Do they trust that their family's going to like this recipe? Okay, now they have the recipe. Now they need to get to the store to get ingredients. Do they have transportation to get to the store? Does the store that they're going to carry the ingredients that they're looking for? Are the ingredients too expensive? Is it at their particular convenience store they can buy those ingredients, but the prices are high because of what particular item it is, or because they can only buy small quantities, so the price per amount is much higher? Okay, so now they've paid the fare, they've drugged their kids to the store with them, they get the ingredients, they get home, they realize, I don't have the tools. I didn't have a blender that I needed, or I don't have a stock pot. Okay, well then I needed to spend money for that. Oh, I don't have any of the seasonings that maybe someone in middle class America has in their cabinet already, so I had to buy those too, so that adds to the price. Okay, well now I'm having to make this recipe and it's new, and so I don't know what I'm doing and it took longer than I thought. Okay, now my kids are going to try it. Do they like it? If they don't like it, am I going to have to buy pizza too? So now I've added a second meal cost and the difficulty of going to get whatever said food it is. Did my kid feel satisfied eating only soup? Was that sufficient? And it's like all of these pieces. And in each one, you think, well, that's not insurmountable. You can overcome that. But when you put them all together, you realize that this is a much bigger problem than you thought, and that it's not just as easy as saying, well, if you just make soup, you know, you'll have a healthy meal for you and your family and everyone will be happy and everyone will be healthy. So I just think that really sums it up very well for my patient population.
And we didn't even add the part that mom is working two jobs. Her kids are all small. They're all begging for Takis. She's depressed, anxious. sleep deprived. I mean, like, just even think about the mental health aspect of like, absolutely, I'm so tired. I want my kids to stop whining. And right, I know that they're going to keep whining if I make this other thing. They just want this food. It's just easy for me to do it. And I can sit on the couch for 5 minutes and rest, you know, right, which I think is actually the biggest problem. Because absolutely, when we have that, we don't even have the energy to put in the effort. Because, you know, everything at the beginning is a steep learning curve. If somebody doesn't know, if never cooked and never made a plant-based meal, it's right, going to be a steep learning curve at the beginning. And if you don't have the energy to do it, you're not going to be able to start. Right. So,
or if grandma is making the meal and mom and dad have been told one thing at the you know, doctor's office about their own health or about their kids' health, and they're like, well, we need to do this. I mean, if grandma's the one stepping up to make the meal, I'm not stepping on grandma's toes. You know, that's, and I absolutely understand that.
Yeah, it's very complex. There's a lot of factors. And I think that's why it takes time, and also making sure that we are meeting our patients where they are, with what they're willing to do, with what they're willing to start with, and try to understand them a little bit, because it can be very complex. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to add about either lifestyle medicine or any tips you might have for other providers out there who are also like you, working as part of a community health center or employed by a hospital group? Maybe some tips for them and how they can integrate the principles of lifestyle medicine in a way that feels comfortable?
I don't know. I feel like this is something I'm still working on. This is something I feel like I'm still trying to integrate more and more into my practice. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of ways that I have these ideas about things that I could do. And it's, and of course I have three kids at home and, you know, I'm working at these two clinics, and there's so many things that come up and make it difficult to do, but I would love to do, like, I don't know, like try plant-based food, you know, like let's have everybody, let's all come like a community, come together, you know, and say, here, let's try these foods. Because I think so many people honestly would really, really love some of the recipes that I have tried that I find to be absolutely amazing, but they don't have the experience. They don't know what it is that I'm referring to. And so I think that would be really cool. It's something I still hope to really be able to do at my clinic. I certainly do it whenever we have get-togethers with the providers. I'm like, I'm bringing the vegan dish.
I love it. Yeah, because I think a lot of people have this image of what it means to not eat animal products, and they're just thinking bland, cardboard, not delicious. So once people start tasting the food, what I hear most of the time is like, oh yeah, if someone were making this for me, I would totally be able to be plant-based, you know? But the barrier in their mind is, I can't make this, even though yeah, a lot of the dishes are super simple. So that's why I think having like little cooking demonstrations and things like that can go so long, so far in helping people be like, oh, really? It's really that easy? You know, right, like people, you just like open a can and rinse the beans and throw it with this thing. It's super, super yeah, easy. So yeah, I love that. Okay. Anything else you wanted to share about your own plant-based journey or family stuff? Any other tips you have there?
I mean, mostly just that I think I'm okay with it continuing to be a journey. I was nervous coming on to talk to you, in part because I'm not perfect and my family's not perfect. And I know that. And I think it feels like one of those things where we think if we're going to put ourselves out that we have to be the ideal image. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really okay with where I'm at, and I'm okay with where my family is at. And the fact that we can grow and change and continue on with that journey, I don't have to be say, well, here I am and this is where I'm done and this is as far as I'll ever get. But knowing that, I think that's helpful for real people, for people to feel like, you know, that's, you're in the same place I am. We're all moving along this journey together in, you know, this human experience where none of us are perfect. That's probably the biggest thing.
That's beautiful. And I love that, because I say all the time, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I think all or nothing stops us from making any changes or from making any progress. And I think people think, well, if I have to be 100%, I'm not even going to try it at all, because there's no way I can be 100%. So I think the most important thing is being aware that, yeah, we all need to eat more whole plant foods. If we continue eating the standard American diet, not good. Not good for us.
Absolutely.
So we know that. So how can we move towards just integrating more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds into our meals and our snacks? That's all we have to focus on is adding more of those things and stepping towards that. And absolutely, it's not about perfection. And I agree with you 100%. I mean, I have that. It's written in my book that it's not about making a decision that kids have to be 100%. And families sometimes want to do that, but they have to navigate that very, very carefully, especially with kids in school and teenagers. So are my kids 100% vegan? No, they're not. And, you know, they go to social things, and but they don't stress about it. You know, it's not a point of stress in our family either. We know that we eat plant-based for a variety of reasons, but if they're at an event and there might be something that they want that has some dairy in it, they're fine, you know? So, thank you for being transparent about that, but hopefully it inspires people to start making some changes, knowing that it doesn't have to be an all or nothing sort of thing. Okay, well, let's get to some of these special questions. What do you wish more people knew? And that can be about anything.
I think that I wish more people knew that it is okay to change your mind. And that it's okay to admit that you used to think differently than you do now. I think that all too often we get stuck in our ways because we are afraid of change and we're afraid to admit that we don't think the same way we used to. And I think also when we do change, sometimes we try to erase this past. Like, oh, I was not me. That was just I don't know who that person was. I'm this person now. I think that's important to recognize that we can change and that it's okay to change your mind.
I love that. Just like you said before, it's a journey. All of life is a journey. So how do you define success in this lifetime?
To love and to be loved, probably the most important thing to me.
And is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you or something that you have left on your bucket list that you'd be willing to share with us?
Oh, man. I am a simple person. I don't know that I've ever even thought about making a bucket list, to be honest. What comes up in life is what comes up for me. So I'm not sure that I have anything in particular.
You're probably still too busy with your kids to even think about a bucket list. You're like, things just keep coming at me every day. There's not really any extra. You have to wait maybe till you're a little bit older. You're pretty young.
Right.
Maybe I should only ask the bucket list questions after a certain age.
When you stop having, like, my youngest is 6. So maybe, I don't know, how many years does she have to be
before you're just like, let me start making my bucket list. Okay. What does it mean to be human?
I think it just goes back to that journey. It's a terrible and wonderful thing to be human because we are not perfect and we want so badly to be perfect, I think. At least I do. I don't know about other people, but that's, for me, that is so true. I just want to be perfect, but I'm not. Nobody is. We're all just on a journey. And that's I think what it is to be human.
Yeah. Oh, that's so insightful. I love it. Okay, well, I don't know if you're willing to have listeners connect with you or not, but if you are, is there a place that listeners can connect with you?
I am a very average person. I don't have any particular, I don't even think I even have an Instagram. They can reach out to me by email. I'd be happy to talk to anybody, honestly, connect with people, but I don't even have most social media.
Awesome. Well, we'll put your email address so that if people have questions, they can reach out to you. But Laura, I so appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your story and thanks for your humility and your journey and everything that you do to help patients. I can tell that you're just a very compassionate and loving provider and all of your patients are so lucky to have you. So thank you so much for being on the show and I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. My name is Laura Driggers, and I am human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.